إن الحمد لله نحمده سبحانه ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد, we continue the تفسير of تيسير الكريم الرحمن في تفسير كلام المنان للشيخ عبد الرحمن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله تعالى. And we have concluded with we have concluded chapter Al-Kahf, Alhamdulillah, which was a number of sessions. Surah Al-Baqarah, Al-Fatiha, and we began with Surah Al-Baqarah, the longest chapter in the Quran. And we have made it up to verse number 11, in which Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْمُفْسِدُونَ وَلَكِنْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Someone, can you read verses 10 and I'm sorry, 11 and 12 in English? 11 and 12 in loud voice.
And when he said to them,
not that loud,
do not make mischief on the earth, they say, we are only peacemakers. Well, verily, they are the ones who make mischief, but they perceive not.
Jazakallah khair. Bye. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله, أي إذا نهي هؤلاء المنافقون عن الإفساد في الأرض وهو العمل بالكفر والمعاصي وهو العمل بالكفر والمعاصي ومنه إظهار سراء المؤمنين لعدوهم وموالاتهم للكافرين قالوا إنما نحن مصلحون. The Sheikh said, meaning when those hypocrites were prevented from spreading corruption upon earth, which is basically doing acts of disbelief and sins. Also included in that is exposing the secrets of the believers to their enemies and to their allies, meaning the hypocrites' allies. So one of the qualities of hypocrites is that they expose the secrets of the Muslims to the non-Muslims. So when these hypocrites were prevented from doing that, they said, قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ. They said, verily, we are only peacemakers. So, مُصْلِح is someone who does صُلْح, which is bringing harmony and peace and rectifying things. And verily, they are liars. The Shaykh said, فَجَمَعُوا بَيْنَ الْعَمَلِ بِالْفَسَادِ فِي الْأَرْضِ وإظهارهم أنه ليس بفساد بل هو إصلاح. الله أكبر. He said, so they brought a relation between two things. First, by spreading corruption upon earth, and second, by claiming that it is not corruption, rather it is peacemaking. You see, that's a big problem. So it's like someone coming in here and lying, and then you telling him you are a liar. He says, no, I'm not a liar, but you are a liar. And the people leave believing that you are the liar and he is the truthful one. Not only he denied being a liar, but he also accused you of lying, and let's say the people believed. That's more evil than the first. So these people, they don't only spread corruption upon earth and they deny it. No, rather they say, no, we're not. We're actually spreading peace. We are spreading goodness. قلبا للحقائق وجمعا بين فعل الباطل واعتقاده حقا. And this is basically turning the truth over and twisting the facts around, and also bring a relation between doing falsehood while believing it is the truth. وهذا أعظم جناية ممن يعمل بالمعصية مع اعتقاده أن معصية. This is more dangerous and more blameworthy than the person who does a sin while he knows that what he's doing is a sin. Because you do a sin and you know, yes, I know I'm sinful, so there's room for repentance, and you know, you have half a problem. But the problem is when you're doing a sin and then you claim that what you're doing is not a sin, it's an act of worship. Right? That's more dangerous. فَهَذَا أَقْرَبُ لِلسَّلَامَ وَأَرْجَى لِرُجُوعِهِ. So the first one, the one who does a sin and recognizes it, he is closer to safety, and there's more hope that he will return to Allah. طيب. ولما كان في قولهم إنما نحن مصلحون حصر للإصلاح في جانبهم وفي ظنه أن المؤمنون ليسوا من أهل الإصلاح طلب الله دعواهم بقوله. Now, regarding their statement, verily we are good doers or peacemakers, the way they said it is basically making it exclusive to them. And this is due to the Arabic language. First, because that which is supposed to be delayed was put forth, إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ like إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ meaning we and إِنَّمَا which means nay, verily we are the peacemakers, basically making this quality exclusive to them. When this is the case, then they are automatically denying that quality away from the believers. When they say verily we are the only, exclusively we are the only peacemakers, meaning the believers, the real believers who are not hypocrites, are not. They're not among the people of goodness. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban. So Allah Azza wa Jal refuted their claim. Allah refuted their claim ala tul. فقلب الله عليهم دعاهم بقوله ألا إنهم هم المفسدون فإنه لا أعظم إفسادا ممن كفر بآيات الله وصد عن سبيل الله وخادع الله وأولياءه ووالى المحاربين لله ورسوله. He said, so Allah refuted them, right? He said, verily no, it is they who are the corrupt, those who are spreading corruption, not the other way around. The Shaykh said, he said, because there's no one who is more, there's no greater corruption than disbelieving in the signs of Allah and preventing the people from following His path and from tricking Allah and His righteous servants and from taking allies with the warriors, those who are fighting against Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَزَعْمُوا مَعَ ذَلِكَ أَنَّ هَذَا أَصْلَحُ while claiming with all that this is spreading goodness and peace upon earth. فَهَلْ بَعْدَ هَذَا الْفَسَادِ فَسَادِ is there any corruption after this corruption that is worse? This is the epitome of corruption. Disbelieving, lying, rejecting, making friends with the enemies of Islam, opposing Allah and His Messenger, then after all that claiming that this is goodness. أعوذ بالله. ولكن لا يعلمون علما ينفعهم. But the problem is that they do not have knowledge that benefits them. They don't have knowledge that benefits them. وإن كانوا قد علموا بذلك علما تقوم به عليهم حجة الله. Although they have enough knowledge in which the proof of Allah is established against them. وإنما كان العمل بالمعاصي في الأرض فساد عليكم السلام. لأنه يتضمن فساد ما على وجه الأرض من الحبوب والثمار والأشجار والنبات. And verily, the usage of the term causing corruption upon earth is used as a manifestation of sin. Why does sin entail corruption upon earth? What's the relation? So you're sinning, right? You're walking around on earth sinning. How does that affect the earth? The Shaykh will explain. There's a relation between both. Because sin will cause that which is upon the surface of the earth, from seeds and fruits and trees and plants, will demolish and lose its blessing due to their sins. Because there's a number of verses that mention that, you know, and Allah Azza wa Jalla says, had the people of the Qura, the people of the villages, had they believed in Allah, then Allah would have opened upon them the blessings from the heavens and from the earth. The rain will continue to come with blessing, the earth will continue to vegetate with blessing, and this has been also established in the narrations mentioning the coming of Jesus, peace be upon Him. It does mention that when Jesus comes back at the end of time and goodness will spread upon earth, because He'll be implementing Islam, He will break the cross, He will kill the pig, He will remove the jizya, and he will not accept Islam from anyone. Those who are believers will follow him. Those who are disbelievers will try to fight against him. Allah will give him victory, and Jesus will be running, ruling this earth as a Muslim. And because of this blessing, the earth will vegetate at one fruit, which will be so huge that a big number of people will eat from one fruit. The size of the vegetation will grow because of the blessings. Even before, the fruit used to be bigger. It continues to get smaller due to the sins of the children of Adam. So the sins are proportionally relevant to sins. The more people spread sins, the more they lose the blessing. So much so that some countries are being wiped out. An earthquake and everything is gone. The earth, the buildings, the schools, nothing is left, not even the human beings. This is an example. Fasad fil ard due to sins. Now, ولأن الإصلاح في الأرض أن تعمر بطاعة الله ولمن به. Because the way you spread goodness upon earth is by building it through the word, obedience to Allah and believing in Him. ولهذا خلق الله الخلق. This is why Allah created the creation. وأسكنهم في الأرض, and he inhabited them on earth. وأدر لهم الأرزاق, and Allah provided them abundantly with sustenance. ليستعينوا بها على طاعته وعبادته, so they can use it in order to worship Him and be obedient to Him, not so they can disobey Him with it. فإذا عمل فيها بضده كان سعيا بالفساد فيها وأقربا لها عما خلقت له. So if the people use the bounties and the opposite of that, it will be means of spreading corruption upon this earth and a source of destruction, destruction from that which it was created for.
So,
no problem. وإذا قيل لهم آمنوا قالوا no. وإذا قيل لهم آمنوا كما آمن الناس قالوا أنؤمن كما آمن السفهاء ألا إنهم هم السفهاء ولكن لا يعلمون. Someone kindly read verse number 13, I'm sorry, in English.
13?
Yes.
And when it is said to them, high praise, believe as the people of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Ansar and Muhajirun.
Muhajirun.
Have believed. You say, shall we believe as the fools have believed? Verily, they are the fools, but they know not.
Again, another quality of these lousy hypocrites who have turned the tables around and claimed that which is against the truth. The Shaykh said, أَإِذَا قِيلَ لِلْمُنَافِقِينَ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ أي كإيمان الصحابة رضي الله عنهم وهو الإيمان بالقلب واللسان. These hypocrites, when it is said to them, believe as the people have believed, meaning as the companions have believed. Belief in the heart and with the tongue. Because the hypocrites, which one do they have, the heart or the tongue?
The tongue.
They have the tongue inside?
They have the heart on
the eye. He said the tongue, the heart. In the tongue only, nothing in the heart. Otherwise they won't be hypocrites. So iman is that which is established in the heart, conviction of the heart, and the statement of the tongue, and the action of the limbs. You must have all three to have iman according to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Because there are groups among the Muslims like the Murji'ah who say that deeds are irrelevant to iman. You don't have to pray. You don't have to fast. You don't have to do hajj. You don't have to do anything. As long as you believe in your heart, you are just like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. There is no difference between you and him. There is a group of Muslims called the Murji'ah, a sect.
Murji'ah.
Now, so they claim it is sufficient to believe. They say, why? You believe in Allah, Abu Bakr believes in Allah. You believe in his messenger, he believes in his messenger. You believe in Islam, the prophets and messengers, he does too. So what's the difference between you and him? Nothing. Although it sounds like it makes some sense, you can quickly say, okay, then you are also iman, your iman is just like the shaitan. Same Satan. He also believes in the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he believes in Allah, and he believes in the angels. He was worshipping Allah with them. He believes in the Day of Judgment. He knows he's going to the fire. He has these. He recognizes these things. Is he a believer? Is that sufficient? Can you say the shaitan is like Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu? No. So there's no such thing as belief. The conviction of the heart is necessary. If you truly believe, it would have materialized into deeds. Naturally. Naturally. But yet, otherwise you are a liar. Anyone who says, and you will meet some born Muslims who will tell you this. Say, Akhi, why aren't you, you know, implementing some of the teachings of Islam inwardly or outwardly? He said, Iman is here. Don't tell me nothing. Iman is here. I know. My heart is clean. A'udhu billah.
Mostly.
Yes. This is a huge claim. First, Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not purify yourselves. Do not praise yourself. So for you to come and say, Wallah, my heart is clean, this is speaking about yourself in a praiseworthy manner, it's prohibited in Islam. You do not say that. And you're a liar. You are a freaking liar. If you truly believed, if your heart was really clean and you had Iman, it would have made you obey Allah outwardly. If inside is no good, outside is no good. The more it is no good inside, the more it is no good outside. If it's 50-50 outside, it's 50-50 inside. You see? They go hand in hand. So no one can claim otherwise. So Iman must be in the heart, in the limbs, and in the statements of the tongue. Then you are truly a believer. They are truly a believer, and there are many verses from the Quran and narrations from the Prophet ﷺ that prove this particular way or madhab of Ahl Sunnah al Jama'ah. But, so the Shaykh rahimahullah says, so when I said to them, believe as the Sahaba believe, meaning believe in the heart and in the tongue, they say, according to their false claim, قالوا بزعم الباطل, do we believe, أنؤمن كما آمن السفهاء. Look at this danger. This is very much like the Shia. They say, shall we believe like the foolish believe? The Shaykh said, بزعمهم يعنون قبحهم الله الصحابة رضي الله عنهم بزعمهم. They mean, may Allah disgrace them. They mean the Sahaba. يعني they call in the companions foolish. When it is said to them, believe as the people have believed, and what is intended by the people are the Sahaba, these hypocrites turn around and say, do you want us to believe like the foolish people believe? So they're claiming that the Sahaba of the Prophet ﷺ are foolish, and they are the people with intellect. A. بزعمهم أن سفههم أوجب لهم الإيمان وترك الأوطان ومعادات الكفار. So they're claiming that it is their foolishness, the foolishness of the Sahaba is what made them believe and leave behind their homes and having animosity towards the disbelievers. والعقل عندهم يقتضي ذات ضد ذلك. And according to them, mind entails the opposite of that. فنسبوهم إلى السفه. So they accuse them of being foolish. They accuse the companions of foolishness. وفي ظنه أنهم هم العقلاء أرباب الحجة والنهى. And يعني by default, without saying, that they are the people of intellect and understanding. Because when you say that the other people are foolish for doing something else, and you're not doing that thing, meaning you're smart because you're not doing it, and they are foolish for doing it. So they criticize the Sahaba, and they praise themselves. Now again, Allah Azza wa Jal refuted them. And this is a reality that we must be aware of, that Allah will defend the believers. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Verily Allah defends those who believe. So every time they are accused of something, Allah will defend them. Allah defended them in the previous verse, and Allah defends them again. فَرَدَّ اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَقْبَرَ أَنَّهُمْ هُمُ السُّفَهَاءُ عَلَى الْحَقِيقَةِ لِأَنَّ حَقِيقَةُ السُّفْهَاءِ. Then Allah refuted them and rejected their statement. He said that verily they are the foolish people, in essence. Because what is foolishness? جَهْلُ الْإِنسَانِ بِمَصَالِحِ نَفْسِهِ وَسَعِيهِ فِي مَا يَضُرُّهَا. Real foolishness is a person being ignorant about that which is good for himself. and a person who strives in order to harm himself. وهذه صفة منطبقة عليهم وصادقة عليهم. This quality applies strictly to them. They do not know what's benefit from them, what's beneficial for them to be a true believer, not to be a hypocrite pretending Islam outwardly and being a disbeliever inwardly. Seeking the benefit of yourself and reward and you know that which is good for you is being a true believer and avoiding harm. And listen, nothing will harm for them being a hypocrite while Allah knows what the hearts conceal and Allah may expose them. Now, كما أن العقل والحجة أو الحجة والحجة معرفة الإنسان بمصالح نفسه. Likewise, the intellect and real knowledge is a person who knows what benefits himself. وسعي فيما يفعل, striving in that which is fruitful or beneficial. وفي دفع ما يضره, and in removing that which is harmful. وهذه الصفة منطبقة على الصحابة والمؤمنين وصادقة عليهم. And this quality is applicable to the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and the believers, and it is fit for them. فالعبرة بالأوصاف والبرهان لا بالدعوة المجردة والأقوال الفارغة. So the bottom line is that the essence of the issues here is through the attributes and proof, and not just false accusations and empty statements. يعني to claim that you are intellectual, and let's say I say I'm intellectual and you are a foolish person. طيب, this is a claim. Then me and this person have a debate, and it turns out to everybody that he is the intellectual person and I am a foolish. What do we use as the bottom line? The statements made or the reality of and the attributes? The attributes. After you hear and you realize that I'm the foolish and he is the intellectual, whatever I said earlier becomes meaningless. Because I claim that I am the intellectual and he's the foolish. But it turned out to be the other way around. So the Ibra, yes. Yes. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله. الحمد لله.
السلام عليكم.
Hey, I'm careful. I'm trying to be careful. الحمد لله. طيب. So basically, then the عبرة is with the reality, not with the statements. طيب. One more time. وإذا لقوا الذين آمنوا قالوا آمنا. وإذا خلوا إلى شياطينهم قالوا إنا معكم إنما نحن مستهزئون. الله يستهزئ بهم ويمدهم في طغيانهم يعمهون. Someone can read verses 14 and 15 in English in loud voice.
And when they meet those who believe, they say, we believe. But when they are alone with their shayateen or devils who are in this type of place, they say, truly, we are with you. Verily, we're but mocking. Hey. Subhanallah Ta'ala mocks at them and gives them increases in their wrongdoing and wonder blindly.
Allahu Akbar. هذا من قولهم بأسرتهم ما ليس في قلوبهم. وذلك أنهم إذا اجتمعوا بالمؤمنين أظهروا أنهم على طريقهم وأنهم معهم. He said, this is among them saying with their tongues that which is not in their hearts. So that means that whenever they come across, they run into the believers, they tell them, verily we are with you. We are upon your path. And they are part of them. Liars. And when they فَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَى شَيَاطِينِهِمْ أَيْ رُؤَسَائِهِمْ وَكُبَرَائِهِمْ فِي الشَّرْقِ قَالُوا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ فِي الْحَقِيقَةِ وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامِ. But when they are secluded with their devils in shayateen, which include the human beings here, because the shayateen are of two kinds. Maybe you didn't know this before. There is shaytan al-ins and shaytan al-jinn. The shaytan of jinn made the spirits. You know the jinn. And shaitan of the human being. There's two kinds of shayateen. Not only the jinn. There's shayateen al-ins. And this comes in the Quran. And so if I remember correctly. Let me retract that particular statement. Whatever, it's established in the deen that there are shayateen al-ins, which is basically the person who is a kafir, who not only is a kafir but he's also trying to spread disbelief, always whispering to you evil, come on, let's go drink, let's go commit haram, let's go do something. This is a shaytan. This is a shaytan. Nah. So anyways, these hypocrites, when they come across the shayateen, and this is where Allah described them as shayateen, this is the evidence from the Quran. There, I was saying that it's in the Quran, there it is in the Quran. Because inevitably, they're not speaking to the shaytan of jinn. Because do you speak to shaytan?
No.
Do you speak to the shaytan?
No.
I hope not. If you do, leave this class. Okay, I don't want anybody saying that you don't speak to the shaytan. But Allah said that when they are there and in seclusion with their shayateen, they tell them, we are with you. Meaning they are having a conversation. So shayateen here is referring to human beings and not the jinn. Tayyib? So anyways, they say to them, meaning their leaders and their those who are the most evil among them. قالوا إن معكم في الحقيقة وإنما نحن مستهزئون بالمؤمنين بإظهارنا لهم أن على طريقتهم. So they say to their shayateen, their leaders, verily we are with you. We are with you, we're still with you. We are only pretending. And we are only making fun, mocking the believers in front of them by pretending in front of them that we are on their way. Don't worry, we're with you, we're still kuffar. I'm still a Christian. But whenever I'm with the Muslims, I pretend to be a Muslim so I could take Friday off and I could, you know, have a longer ijazah, take the 5-time prayer so I could, the kafir can let me go. A'udhu billah, you may get some people like that who are hypocrites. They didn't really embrace Islam, but they hang around the Muslims, they spend time with the Muslims. But when his Christian friends tell him, hey, what are you doing at the Jeddah Da'wah Center? He says, man, don't worry, I'm just mocking with these people, just spending time, we play basketball, we have some good time. I'm still a Christian, man, Jesus is still my man. Jesus is still my savior, a'udhu billah. Hey, you never know, there's hypocrites back in the day, there's hypocrites today. They are hypocrites. I ask Allah not to make anyone that we know and any one of us among those. But in reality, this is their quality. In front of the believers, mia mia. When they're with their likes, then they show their real alliance with the people their likes. Now, إنما نحن أيوة. فهذه حالهم الباطنة والظاهرة. ولا يحيق المكر السيء إلا بأهله. So this is their reality. This is the way they are, the hypocrites, outwardly and inwardly. And verily, the evil planning and plotting will harm no one but the person who does the plotting himself. You see? You plot and you plot with wickedness and evil, and you are plotting against yourself. So any non-Muslim who plots against Islam, at the end of the day, he is plotting his entrance to Jahannam. Ala tul. As long as you are plotting against Islam and the Muslims and the deen of Allah, you are by default plotting against yourself without even paying attention. You are setting up your own trap to go to Jahannam. So whenever you plot evil, it will return to you sooner or later. Subhanallah. Qala ta'ala, Allah yastahzi bihim wa yamudduhum fi tughyanihim ya'mahun. وهذا جزاء لهم على استهزائهم بعباده فمن استهزأ بهم أن زين لهم ما كانوا فيه من الشقاء والحال القبيثة حتى ظنوا أنهم مع المؤمنين أن زين لهم. نعم. He said Allah mocks them and increased them in their misguidance, so they are just going around wandering astray. He says this is an equal recompense to them because of their mockery of his servants, of Allah's righteous servants, because of them mocking them. Na'am. Because of their mockery to the believers, it became that their actual evil was adorned to them. It was made to look good. And so their condition of being with wretched and being wicked, they no longer observe it or recognize it. They do not see the state that they are in. And this is because recompense, because they mocked the believers, Allah made them not understand the serious wicked condition that they are in, so much so that they thought of themselves that they are the believers. حَتَّى ظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لِمَا لَمَّا لَمْ يُصَلِّطُ اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَيْهِمْ. So they believed because they see that the believers did not fight against them. So they thought that, oh, okay, we're good, man. This is working out. Now Allah is mocking them here because they are being tricked. You will expect the believers to go against them and say, hey, you're a munafiq. Oh, I'm sorry, I don't want to bring it. Hey, you're a hypocrite, you're a munafiq, and you know, kick him out or something. So when hypocrites, they see that they're still among the believers, and nothing is going wrong, no one is identifying them, no one is exposing them, so they thought, okay, hey, this is good, it's working out. Now here Allah Azza wa Jal is mocking them by allowing them to think that they are safe and secure. But really what's coming in the future will change all that around. نعم ومن استهزاء بهم يوم القيامة أن يعطيهم مع المؤمنين نورا ظاهرا فإذا مشى المؤمنون بنورهم طفئ نور المنافقين وبقوا في الظلمة بعد النور متحيرين. Now there's another narration and a verse from the Quran that explains the condition of the hypocrites on the day of judgment. That at one point Allah Azza wa Jal will cause darkness to spread and encompass everyone during the resurrection, during the gathering, at the time of Hashr, at the time of the people being gathered for the judgment. Light will go out and no one will be able to see anything except for the believers. They will be given nur, light according to their belief. Those who believe immensely will have a light equal to a mountain. And those who believe less will be equal to a camel in height. And those who believe less, they will have a light equal to their height. And those whose belief was small, their toe will be like a torch, turning on and off, in which they can move. Because you are moving to the sirat, to the path that has been put over Jahannam, in which the people will pass over it. The believers will make it go to Jannah. The disbelievers will fall into Jahannam. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. So at this point, light is necessary for you to go in the right direction. Everybody will be deprived of light except for the believers. Now what will happen? Whenever Allah Azza wa Jal will give them, the believers, light, who will be standing among them? The munafiqeen, the hypocrites, who pretended to be among the Muslims outwardly. At this point, they will get the real reckoning, and recompense for their deeds when the lights of the believers come on, and so the hypocrites try to move under the light, and then Allah Azza wa Jal will deprive them of the light. So then they will say, أَلَمْ نَكُمْ مَعْكُمْ, as it comes to Surah Al-Hadid, they will say, يَوْمَ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتُ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا انظُرُونَا نَقْتَبِسْ مِنْ نُورِكُمْ قَالُوا ارْجِعُوا وَرَاءَكُمْ فَالْتَمِسُوا نُورًا. On the day, Allah tells us in the Quran, on the day when the hypocrite men and the hypocrite women will say to the believers, hold on, let us use some of your light. So then the believers will mock them. The same way the hypocrites used to mock the believers, they will say, ارْجِعُوا وَرَاءَكُمْ فَالْتَمِسُوا نُورًا. Go back behind and get your own light. Don't come getting my light. This is personal for me. You want light that will lead you to the sirat? Go back and get your own. And there's nothing back there. If the hypocrites were to move back, they will have no light. So, this is what they will get on the day of judgment, as a recompense for them mocking the believers in this dunya. And really the condition of the hypocrites, Akhwan, is the worst. So much so that in hellfire, the hypocrites are in the lowest level. Allah says, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Really the hypocrites are in the lowest level of the hellfire. Meaning the Jews and the Christians will be above them. Because the hellfire has levels. The deeper you are, the more severe the punishment. The hypocrites are in the lowest part. Are in the lowest part of Jahannam al-Iyadu Billah. فما وبقوا في الظلمة بعد النور متحيرين فما أعظم اليأس بعد الطمع. So how great is disparity after having hope. They were hoping that they would be successful, and at that point they would be totally despair from the mercy of Allah, because they were hypocrites in this dunya and they pretended to be believers, while inside in their hearts they were disbelievers. يناديهم ألم نكن معكم قالوا بلى ولكنكم فتنتم أنفسكم وتربصتم وارتبتم. This is the continuation of the verse I quoted earlier. The Shaykh didn't quote the beginning of it, he quoted the end, which says, then the hypocrites will call on to believe the believers, they will say, were we not with you? Didn't we attend the Jumu'ah with you? Didn't we come to the Salah with you? Didn't we fast the Ramadan with you? The hypocrites were doing it outwardly, but in their hearts they did not believe. Then the believers will tell them, Bala, yes, you were around us outwardly, ولكنكم فتنتم أنفسكم, but barely you have tested, you have tried yourself and deviated yourself. وتربصتم, and you were always against the believers, wishing them harm. وارتبتم, and you were full of doubt. You were full of doubt about the promise of Allah, and you were full of doubt that Allah would punish you because of your hypocrisy. So you continued to live your life as a hypocrite until you died in this case. So there will be no benefit in complaining or seeking any kind of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this particular point. وقوله ويمدهم أي يزيدهم في طغيانهم أي فجورهم وكفرهم يعمهون أي حائرون مترددون وهذا من استهزائه تعالى بهم. No, no, I'm still reading the same verse. The Shaykh is commenting by saying, and when regarding the statement of Allah, ويمدهم أي يزيدهم, meaning Allah will increase them, في طغيانهم, meaning in their wickedness and in their disbelief. يعمهون, meaning they'll be wandering and they will be confused. They don't know where they're going. And this is the form of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mocking them. You know, where they are increased in misguidance and they're like a person who does not know where he's going, what direction he's traveling upon, what his objective in life is. Someone who is totally unaware of what he is doing. Verse number 16. أولئك الذين اشتروا الضلالة بالهدى فما ربحت تجارتهم وما كانوا مهتدين. Someone can you read verse number 16 in English?
These are they who have purchased error of guidance, so their commerce was profitless if they were not guided.
أولئك أي المنافقون الموصوفون بتلك الصفات الذين اشتروا الضلالة بالهدى أي رغبوا في الضلالة رغبة المشتري بالسلعة. Meaning those hypocrites who are described with these particular qualities, they are the ones who purchased misguidance with guidance, or the way the Shaykh put it, meaning they seek misguidance the same way the person who buys an item seeks to buy it. Like for example, you see a pair of shoes that you really like, so you will put your mind, or a thawb maybe, or whatever you like, you put in your mind that you want to buy this item, and you have a desire in your heart. Maybe you see it every time you go by the store, you see it in the front, you know, and you just look at it and say, inshallah, one day I'm going to buy this, you know, whatever it is. You have a desire to purchase this particular item. These hypocrites feel the same way about misguidance. Allah says they purchase it, and they have the desire to purchase it the same way a person who likes a particular item has the desire to purchase it. They have the desire to purchase misguidance. التي من رغبتي فيها يبذل فيها الأثمان النفيسة. So much so that the person يعني pays a lot of money. You know, not just any money, a lot of money in order to buy this item. وهذا من أحسن الأمثلة. The Shaykh said this is from among the best examples that can be given. فأن جعل الضلالة هي غاية الشر كسلعة. So, وجعلوا الهدى الذي هو غاية الصلاح بمنزلة الثمن. فبذلوا الهدى رغبة عنه بالضلالة رغبة فيها فهذه تجارتهم فبئس التجارة وبئس الصفقة صفقتهم. طيب, he said this is from the best of examples, because if you make misguidance, which is the epitome of evil, to be like an item that you buy, pay attention to this, and you make guidance, which is the best thing that you can purchase, like the money that you're using. So this is misguidance, and this is, let's say, money. And you can buy the misguidance with money. So this is guidance, this is misguidance, and this is guidance. Allah Azza wa Jalla, look at this example, how good it is. Allah said that these people buy misguidance with guidance. You see? Look how crazy you are. This is the most valuable, the most desired, the most expensive thing you have. And this is the worst of things, of evil. So you use the most valuable thing to buy the lowest of things. So Allah says, اشتروا الضلالة بالهدى. They buy misguidance with the guidance. Meaning they favor the misguidance over the guidance. They use the guidance that Allah gave them from the Quran and the Sunnah in order to become misbelievers. See what kind of business this is? This is the worst kind of business. So the Shaykh said, so they spend the most valuable thing, which is guidance, to purchase the worst of things, which is dalal, misguidance. He says, so this is their business. And this is the worst kind of business. The worst kind of business and the worst kind of transaction is their transaction. Where you spend the most valuable of things in order to buy the least expensive things. And you think that you're doing something good. What an example. This is eloquence of the Quran, subhanAllah. وَإِذَا كَانَ أَرْضُ مِنْ Maybe we read it in English many times, but we never really understood this meaning, this deep meaning behind it. وَإِذَا كَانَ مَنْ بَذَلَ دِنَارًا فِي مُقَابَلِ دِرْهَمٍ خَاسِرًا فَكَيْفَ مَنْ بَذَلَ جَوَارَةً وَأَقَدَ عَنْهَا دِرْهَمًا He says, now of course we don't have any dirham and dinar nowadays, but let's use another example. If someone uses one halala to purchase with it a million, to purchase with it one riyal. Okay, if someone continues to speak, man, it's gonna be Yusuf Kito, man. You either sleep or you speak. Everybody can hear you, including myself. Right. So anyways, if you imagine you had one halala and you buy with it 10 riyals, what do you think people say about you? You're crazy, man. You get one halala, it's one halala, and you get 10 riyals from you. Of course, if you're the one, you know, selling it to me, you're cuckoo. Because you had just lost 9 riyals and 99 halalas, and you wind up with one halala. So if exchanging something like that to that is considered a bad business transaction, then what about a person who pays a jewel, a diamond, and gets one halala in return? And I give you 10 riyals and get one halala from you, that's already horrible. How about I give you a diamond and I got one halala from you? This is even worse. What is even worse than that? فَكَيْفَ مَنْ بَدَلَ الْهُدَى فِي مُقَابَلَةِ الضَّلَالَةِ So what about the one who pays with guidance in order to purchase misguidance? This is even worse than all of the examples of the material. A. وَاقْتَارَ الشَّقَاءَ عَلَى السَّعَادَةِ And the one who favors wretchedness over happiness. وَرَغِبَ فِي سَبْلِ الْأُمُورِ عَنْ أَعْلِيهَا And he desires the lowest of things over the highest of it. فَمَا رَبِحَ تِجَارَتُهُ So this person's business will not prosper. بَلْ خَسِرَ فِي أَعْلَمْ قِصَارًا Rather he lost the ultimate loss in this business. قُلْ إِنَّ الْخَاسِرِينَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنْفُسَهُمْ وَأَهْلِيهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَلَى ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينُ Allah says in another occasion in the Quran, verily say the losers are those who lose themselves and their family members on the Day of Judgment, meaning in the hellfire. Verily this is the clear ultimate loss when you lose this kind of loss on the Day of Judgment. So, no one is worse than the one who purchases misguidance through guidance. Included in that are the Jews and the Christians who have also purchased the misguidance by distorting their scripture and their books in order to gain some worldly gain. And they have changed the Bible, the Gospel of Jesus, and they've added and deleted things that are suitable for their teachings and for their philosophy to misguide the people from the path of Allah. And these are among the people who also purchase misguidance with guidance. Because they've been given the news and the warnings, but they listen not. وقوله وما كانوا مهتدين تحقيقا لضلالهم وأنهم لم يحصل لهم من الهداية شيء فهذه أوصافهم أوصافهم القبيحة. And Allah says, and they were not guided. He said, this is in order to re-establish their misguidance and their deviance. And the fact that they did not get from guidance anything. They do not have a single atom of guidance. These people are totally misguided. So this is their ugly, these are their ugly descriptions and attributes. ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ مَثَلُهُمُ الْكَاسِفْ لَهُمْ غَيَةِ الْكَسْفِ. Then Allah Azza wa Jal continues to mention an example which we will deal with inshallah next week, which is verse number 17 from Surah Al-Baqarah. هذا والله تعالى عالم والحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد. Brother,
regarding shirk, we have one brother
Muslim.
Yeah, he is Islam almost 3 years now, and he's studying also, but nothing in our center.
So yes.
And she got married.
He or she got married?
He got married. I mean, with poor Muslim woman. And then this guy, his wife, Yani Maris.
Maris, because I know in Tagalog you don't have the his and her.
That's why. Some practicing shirk. When he found it, that because he's wondering, because he's Muslim and has knowledge already, even little Yani, he found that his he found that his wife has practicing shirk.
What kind of shirk?
There is some new place, some small book, which is, if you heard, it is some kind of Arabic, it is from the Quran, but it is not. When he make dua, and he make, something like that.
Mm.
Because he wondering why she, when he make dua, is it's not from the Sunnah and from the Quran, and he's talking with another language.
Oh.
Yeah, and then he read it. Okay, he read. And then when she found out she did not understand, she took this as she needed someone to read this.
Now this is he.
When he found that...
Alhamdulillah, I understand you. Otherwise, I would have been confused by it.
So
now the guy, they wanted to read the book, didn't understand, took it to someone who could read it.
Yes, and then they give advice to him that your wife, she has shirk.
Yes, well apparently if she's dealing with sihr, then she's a mushrika, she's a kafira, and she is a non-Muslim, and it is not permissible for him to be married to her or remain with her, and he must divorce her and leave her alone immediately.
Or else
he is sinning and he is committing zina. Because a person does not become a magician until he disbelieves in Allah. As it comes clearly in Surah Al-Baqarah. Huh? They tell the person, لا تكفر. They do not disbelieve. Because before they teach the magic. So before a person becomes a magician and performs witchcraft or sorcery or anything of this fashion, the person must disbelieve first before he can deal with the shayateen. Upon dealing with the shayateen, this is after he does something. Usually they make them put the Quran in the toilet or step on it or urinate on it, or she will get her blood from her menstruation, put it in the Quran, something disgraceful of disbelief. Then they will start communicating with the shayateen, and they speak to them, and they have connection with the jinn and things of this sort. Now of course, we cannot make this claim against this woman 100% because we do not know really the nature of her problem. Someone must observe it. Besides his opinion, she may be performing some sort of misguidance, but not necessarily sihr.
That's why he is asking advice, because her wife, she make umrah, she make tarah, she make hijab, and she pray.
But that doesn't mean anything sometimes.
She's born Muslim.
Yeah, but she's born Muslim.
Yeah, and maybe just a bid'ah. If it's born Muslim, there are many innovations.
Yeah. And this lady give also help to the other woman, which is his husband is doing want to divorce her and did not give his sustenance to her. She give advice to this woman.
Tell
your wife that you need this and you need this and you need this.
Because of that, we don't want to accuse the sister of anything without any reliable information.
No.
We assume that there's definitely a problem, but the nature of the problem is unknown until a person who knows is able to read the content of these little books or really find out what she is upon. She just may be practicing some bid'ah that many Muslims who were born into Islam bring from their home country, and doesn't necessarily mean sihr. And it could be sihr magic. So really we cannot know until someone who is experienced, a sheikh, is able to look into her situation and evaluate it and judge what exactly is she upon.
What kind of advice we can give our brother?
To treat this problem. Take his wife and find out what is she doing?
Yes.
What is the nature of these things that she's doing? He wants to understand. And if she acts silly and fishy, then he just takes, but he has authority as a husband. Whatever she has, he takes it away and takes it to people with knowledge. Say, listen, what is this? He needs to find out what his wife is upon. I mean, this is not a joke. Yes. He's responsible for her. Yeah, if he knows, he can get a book for the problem she has and give her da'wah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, this is not okay in Islam, this is not from the Sunnah, this and that, maybe she will leave her alone.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want a divorce unless you have to. But, it's to be...
You have a problem now?
Not yet.
Tayyib, I just want to give advice to everyone. Please, 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 your cell phones, the ringtone must, M-U-S-T, must be a plain, ordinary phone ring, tirrn, tirrn, or a horn, bawk, or a bird, or whatever. It cannot be a musical tune. Even the Nokia tune is music. Tirrn, 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 tirrn is music. And if you did not know this was for Nokia, you will think that this is a song. But because we got so used to it, so I advise everyone to change their ringtone to an ordinary ring. For the sake of Allah, so you will not be causing, the gaining sins of the people who listen to these particular things. As we have discussed in previous sessions, music is prohibited in Islam. We are here on earth to worship Allah, love Him, remember Him, pray for Him. We are not here to have a party. During a wedding, the sisters are allowed to beat on a drum, a kind of drum, and to sing songs that do not involve anything prohibited for the sisters, among the sisters, during wedding and Eid only. For us brothers, that's none of our business. We don't have nothing to do with musical instruments and nothing to do with singing. Tayyib?
Tayyib.
And any object that makes similar sounds falls under the same ruling. Whether it's our MP3 player or our cell phone, anything that makes this noise is to be avoided. And thank you, Jazakumullah khair. I wanted to do that while it's being recorded for the people to know that enjoining the good and forbidding the evil is something part of Islam, and that we must conduct this particular act of worship, because this was the title of last night's lecture. Enjoining the good and forbidding the evil and the etiquettes of doing so. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.